touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye! Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Welcome into Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. And we're about a month away from training camp kicking off. So kind of in that dead period at this point of just looking for any little nugget of Saints news going on right now. And not much has filtered out currently.
No, and that's a good thing. For the second episode in a row, I do have to point this out for our YouTube audience. We have inadvertently matched colors. We didn't talk about it. Just happened, and I got my crawfish shirt on. I didn't go to any crawfish boils this year. I was just thinking about that. Did you get any crawfish this year?
I definitely a handful, and I got to experience ravioli in a crawfish boil for the first time, which is pretty cool.
It sounds terrible.
I love it,
but yeah, it's too hot now. It is way too hot now, and that's why I'm glad that this is the dead period. Because if we had to be standing out at practice in a day like this, or like heat advisory days, I might die.
That's when everyone's whining. Can we go to the indoor facility?
I might change careers. No, it's dangerous. Like, they probably would send them to the indoor facility because like this heat is not normal. Like, it's the type of heat that I can't cool my house. I'm sweating inside because this is like the coolest it can get. But yeah. Hey, we're here. We're getting ready for camp. Hotels are booked, man. 26 days. In an Irvine hotel room. And with the spirit of this episode, I do have to ask, what's the over-under on how many days before that starts to feel like a prison cell? Because it's under 26.
Well, I think at least you're in a location that there's plenty to do, obviously, in California. It's not like you're in...
Yeah, but I'm poor.
Right.
So how much of that could I actually do? Like, that was the thing. When we were out there for joint practices, the sticker shock of like even gas costs like $5 a gallon. Like, I went to a movie and that was the cheapest beer I got the entire time I was out in Southern California. It was like $14. Like, what a deal. Like, I need to find myself like a dive bar, but I am fully aware of the fact that like there's no such thing as like a true dive bar in Southern California. Maybe I'll go to like a Chili's.
You need to find a way to include Pooch into your trip so at least it doesn't feel like a complete prison cell.
The dog?
Yeah, bring the dog out.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to put him in my carry-on bag, a 60-pound dog.
Yeah, sure. The Saints won't mind.
Claire would be happy. She's like, honestly, I don't think she's even going to miss me. She's just like, but I have to walk the dog every day.
What is that?
And this dog gets like three long walks a day because I don't know. It's my hobby is walking the dog. Anyway, we are way off the plot here. This is a Saints podcast and we're getting ready. You know, as we mentioned, there's not a ton to talk about. There's a few elements I want to get into in this first segment. But by and large, this is going to be the betting episode and not even really like good bets. We're just going to go through over unders. We're going to talk some lines. There's some really funny lines for the Saints that I want to get into in the final segment. Second segment is going to be more of the individual over unders. We're going to talk about, you know, Derek Carr passing yards, Alvin Kamara, our expectations there. I spent the last couple of days kind of going around and finding every line on the Saints that I could. But there's just not a ton in terms of individuals because I think betting sites don't want to put a line out there that is kind of uninformed. And it's like, we don't even know if A.T. Perry is going to be on the roster. Like, obviously, there's a good chance, but they're not going to put a line out there that kind of gets negated by that. So we're going to talk through that. But in this first segment, I want to talk about a couple of things. The Saints, you know, last episode, we talked about how they signed Rod Teamer as a cornerback. They also signed Mack McCain, another depth cornerback, and cut Nathan Latu. So that's really that's the only real bit of news we have from the Saints. Mack McCain. It's a fun name. I'm going to enjoy saying it. I don't think he's going to make the roster, but that's going to be a name. And then obviously, as we mentioned, Rod Teamer. Nathan Latu is a guy we really never saw. And, you know, wouldn't be surprised if he sticks around and ends up coming back when they clear some roster spots. But for now, he's not here.
And, you know, a little bit of news too. The Saints social media team put out quite a few photos of Chase Young working out. And, well, you just got to be impressed with how impressive of a physical specimen he is. And seems to be on the right track coming back from this neck injury. Sure, he certainly looks in shape.
We in the biz call that a thirst trap. let's take a look at that. We're gonna pop it up here. But yeah, Chase,
muscles upon muscles,
muscle man over here. You know, it is funny because like I mean, good looking guy. Looks like he's in really good shape, and that's gonna be a question when you deal with the neck surgery. Like, what is it? Like, how long does it take you to get back into NFL shape? But my question is he just the new Zion Williamson? Is it like every offseason he's here, we're just going to post a couple photos and like, oh my God, he looks like a monster, and then move on? That's a good question. But yeah, Saints social media team hitting us with the thirst trap during this dead period. And yeah, I can't blame him.
No, making a sweat looking at that body for sure. And it makes you jealous. But I think that's obviously a great sign. You see him obviously in peak shape already. Then the other thing is obviously when he's cleared to get back on the practice field is getting into that football shape we all talk about.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you're able to do a lot of this conditioning work, you're probably getting pretty close to being able to get back on the field, particularly for these unpadded practices, because you're really not hitting each other anyway. Now, full speed padded practices, team drills, that might be a little bit further down the road, but for now, I'm okay with it. Rest of the time in this segment, I want to talk about Chris Olave, and we got a clip from the Reception Perception podcast. It was in our feed. If you want to listen to the full episode on the podcast player, you can go check that out. For the YouTube audience, I didn't want to throw a clip in here. And this is James Coe. And I always want to say Mark Harmon, but it's not Mark Harmon. He's the guy from NCIS. It's Matt Harmon. Although I did find out that Mark Harmon was a quarterback at UCLA. So I don't know. Do with that information what you will. But this is those two dudes talking about Chris Olave and kind of expectations in this offense and why the last 2 years didn't make a ton of sense. And so let's hit that.
I think you could argue that while it's kind of outrageous that all three of these top receivers from this draft class, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Chris Olave, they've all had kind of bad environments to start their season, to start their horrific careers. I think it's pretty easy to see why the first two, Wilson and London, have been held back by their quarterback situations and some just the overall offensive ecosystem.
Coaching.
Tell you, man, I watched that Saints offense last year, and it's like right up there in terms of not well designed. It was a rough watch, especially last season, you know, and not even touching the Derek Carr part of it, like just putting Carr to the side. Chris Olave, as a rookie, ran 7.4% of his routes were slants as a rookie. That is the lowest I've ever charted for a player since 2014.
Like, that's crazy. And
we're talking hundreds of individual seasons,
insane.
Tens of thousands of routes. And last year, it jumps up to 13.4%, which is not a beefy number at all. So this is a guy that's run a very very downfield-oriented route tree, a route tree that really lacks in layup routes. And despite that, he's been a really strong separator through his first two seasons, especially against press man coverage, where he's at the 87th percentile against man and 82nd against press last year.
Yeah, you would think that the scouting report would be, again, if you have Chris Olave and you're asking him to run all these downfield routes, and this is the offensive base that you have established for yourself as a New Orleans Saints and Pete Carmichael, right? Why on God's green earth would you then go and get Derek Carr? Like, this is what I don't understand, right? And again, by the way, his quarterback profile is up on the site. And can I be 100% honest? I had my concerns regarding this whole Derek Carr, Chris Olave mix, you know, when they signed Derek Carr. Because again, the work that you did here on the Olave profile, and then the work that our guy Derek Klasser did on Derek Carr, and you look at the two profiles and you say to yourself, this isn't going to work in its current form, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely how it worked out, right? So Derek Carr has, you know, again, Derek Carr with a 36.4% success rate on the nine route, 37.5% success rate on the corner, 50% success rate on the post. If these sound low, it's because they are, right? These are not good numbers, right? Meanwhile, you've got Chris Olave on the other side really doing damage and running a lot of nines. In 2022, he ran almost 20% of his routes were nine routes. 11% of his routes were post routes. Another 6% on the corner. So you add that all up. I mean, we're talking almost 40% of his routes were again, of the deeper variety. You go inside Derek Carr, but you don't change the offense. Matt, that doesn't make sense to me.
All of these receivers, I think, could get a little bit of a boost here with this change in offense, because like my biggest thing when I watched the Saints offense, it still felt like a unit that was sort of like needed to be manned by a Hall of Fame quarterback, like a Drew Brees type, which isn't surprising, because Pete Carmichael, for the most part, he was kind of the second in command, like Sean Payton's his henchman, right? Or his first mate during that experience. But he'd been there throughout the entire Peyton, Breeze, Saints run, and it just felt like that offense was still stuck there. Now you bring this group in with Clint Kubiak, who we've seen Clint Kubiak call plays before. Definitely just more akin to typical Shanahan stuff. I think we're going to see a lot of that with this offense, and then it's really fascinating to kind of consider how that maps onto these players, especially Chris Olave, because there's going to be a lot more pre-snap motion. This team was dead last in motion at the snap. Like the way all of these teams are trending towards, hey, we've got a guy running full speed as the ball is being snapped, and like he's got a full head of steam. Tyreek Hill with the Dolphins, right?
Right.
He runs those little like cheat out motions and then rips back in the middle of the field. Why can't Chris Olave do that? Why can't Rashid Shaheed do that? You know? That's what I think is interesting, just like mapping Olave, who, to bring it to the RP profile, like, yes, he has great success rate on out routes. Yeah, great success rate on nine routes, curl routes and stuff like that. But why can we not get this guy moving full speed and running a route that's crossing over the middle of the field?
Then
if you're Derek Carr and you're under center, you're in shotgun, whatever, you're heating up because you've got pressure, because maybe they're still working out what their offensive line is going to look like, and he's just a guy who's always had a quick trigger finger. Instead of, oh, I'm dumping it to Alvin Kamara in the flat, my first read is going to be open on a design target here in Chris Olave. And then let's see what Olave can do after the catch, you know, because he's never been a big after catch player. He's never going to be a tackle breaker, but he's also never going to get a lot of opportunities run a bunch of damn out routes and curl routes.
But yeah. And so one thing they talked about that I think is very relevant is the last 2 years, you just didn't see a lot of what they refer to as layup routes for Chris Olave. It was a lot of nines, a lot of goes, a lot of corner routes, a lot of deep downfield breaking routes. And, you know, whether that was because you were designing this offense to have Michael Thomas in it, whether it was kind of this kind of layover from the Drew Brees era and you never really adjusted, the stuff that Derek Carr does well and the stuff that Chris is elite at never really meshed. They never really came together. And so, you know, as we're getting kind of into this betting episode and talking about over-unders and lines, that's the part of the game that I think when you bring Chris Olave into this mix, into this new offense, the biggest change to me will be a lot more action 10 to 12 yards from the line of scrimmage as opposed to 25 to 30 yards from the line of scrimmage. You're going to get a lot more close breaking routes. You're going to get a lot more catch and run opportunities. And that's the reason when I look at these lines, which Chris Olave's over-under on yardage from DraftKings was 1,099 yards. Now, whether that's in part because people are really down on the Saints or whatever, I mean, that's a no-brainer over to me. Even regardless, like, that's not me saying I think this offense is going to blow people away. Who else is catching passes? Like, where is the yardage going? It's got to go to Olave and to a lesser extent, Shaheed and then Juwan and then Alvin, whatever. Like, just from the design of this offense alone, from what we have seen and the yak opportunities you should be trying to get Chris Olave, he should blow by that mark. And the only question is by how much.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, injuries are a concern for that, but that it does seem low to me for a number. I would be comfortable with taking the over on him then. What was it, 1,100 yards last season? I think close to that.
He cleared that last year and missed two games.
Right. So,
Like,
no, just seem like you said, it seems a bit off just because he is clearly number one. And then you really do have a lot of questions. Obviously, Shahid's number two, but then after that, so many questions on who else fills out this wide receiving core. And Chris being that guy, we're hoping and expecting that leap in year three to go, you know, even further for him. And would definitely expect a lot more from him. Like you mentioned, too, with the yards after catch in this Clint Kubiak scheme is definitely something to be excited about.
Yeah, I mean, year one, he had 72 catches. Year two, he had 87 catches. And keep in mind, you know, that was a year two in which you went into it with the idea that Mike Thomas is going to be your number one.
Right.
The design of the offense at its core was based on that idea. You still caught 87 passes. You had Mike Thomas for 9 games and 1 drive. And so, like, that's half the season, right? You spent half the season as the number two and then half the season as the number one. And we have seen Chris, when given those opportunities as the number one receiver, really shine. I mean, look at, like, one of his best games of the season last year was against the Falcons, and I think he got hurt on the first drive of the second half, right? Like, he already had 100 yards receiving. He was on pace. He was going to go for, like, 250 in that game. They could not cover him, and he got hurt. Obviously, I think it was a concussion. You know, it was one of those situations that people complained about, hospital balls or whatever. It was just a high ball to the outside. You know, I think that one of the questions when you talk about Chris's stats is going to be, okay, can he stay healthy throughout the course of the season? Can he avoid, you know, he had concussions in his rookie and second season, and both were in situations that, like, you can complain and say it's on Derek Carr. I think to an extent you got to, as a player, protect your head when you're going to the ground. Because both times it was not like he got sent over the middle of the field and got blown up. Like, that's one where you could say you shouldn't have thrown that ball in the first place. When you're just giving a guy a 50-50 ball to go up and get, he's got to be able to come down and protect his head. And both times, one was against the Seahawks, where he kind of came down and went hard into the ground. That was a concussion. I think it was his first touchdown. He Falcons were, again, it was just going up, kind of got knocked out of the air and went down on his head. And, like, you can say, hey, that the quarterback has to protect him more. I don't know. Like, I want the quarterback to feel like he can throw a jump ball to Chris Olave. So that's just a situation where, you know, you got to learn from that. Right, like, as a receiver, you got to understand where you can be and how to protect yourself. This quarterback also has a lot of responsibility in where he delivers the ball. I just don't think that throw in particular is one where you look at it and you say, oh, this is the quarterback's fault. Now, there were a good number of balls throughout the course of the season that you could say, like, yeah, that should have been delivered somewhere else. It was a little late, it was a little behind him, and, you know, that's on the quarterback. I don't think that was one of them, but either way, we'll continue because those are the type of catches that I know Chris can make and he can get up in the air. What I want to see is more of these easy kind of layup routes across the middle of the field. And you look at it and you say, okay, why is his yak so low? In year one, you're talking about 72 catches, only 210 yak yards. And even that seems high. It was 2.9 yards per catch based on what we saw, right? Year two, 347 yak yards on 87 catches. You're looking more four yak yards per catch. I want to see that number closer to 5 or 6. You know, he's had 557 yak yards over 2 seasons. I would really love to see his yak be closer to 500 yards. I would almost like to see him do that in 1 year. And because of that, I think that's where you're going to see his ability. You know, you're talking about 87 catches. I'd like to see that number get in that range, you know, maybe closer to 95. He averaged 12.9 yards a catch. I'd love that to be closer to 15. And if you're talking about 90 catches, 15 yards per reception, you're looking at 1,350 yards. And to me, that's the goal. If I'm looking at Chris and I'm saying, what is my reasonable goal for him this year? I want to see 90 to 95 catches. I want to see 1,300 to 1,400 yards, because that's what you need your wide receiver one to do in an offense.
Are you hoping for double-digit touchdowns? You think in the 8-9 range?
Well, see, that's a completely different question. And, you know, the touchdowns, we're going to get into these touchdown bets here in the next segment. But, okay, like, those are so contingent on, okay, did you get tackled at the one or did you get into the end zone, right? Like, I don't see Chris being this elite red zone weapon. So if you end up in the short red zone inside the 10 frequently, I don't think that's going to be a good recipe for him to pile up touchdowns. Now, if you can get 30-yard catch-and-run touchdowns, then sure. But in several instances last year, you saw him get down to the goal line, get tackled, and then you ran it in. So it's tough. I don't think that the touchdowns are necessarily an indicator of did he have a successful season or not. That said, you know, what did he have? 4 touchdowns year one, 5 touchdowns year two. I would like to see, yeah, I would be disappointed if you didn't see 6 or 7. Double digits is tough. Like Mike Thomas, I don't think he ever had double digit touchdowns in his career. And he was that kind of elite contested catch guy, a guy that you should be able to throw the ball to in traffic in a phone booth. So I don't know. It's tough. That said, it's a completely different offense. I don't know why I'm even comparing the two, but what I'm looking at is, okay, 1,100 yards for Chris Olave should be the bottom of the barrel. If you only get to 1,100 yards this year, one of two things has happened. Either this offense struggled mightily or you were hurt for 3-4 games.
Yeah, to me, a reason I asked about the touchdowns was just because, yeah, that progression of 4-year one, 5-year two, definitely hoping, obviously, to increase that year number 3. And yeah, to me, it was right around in that double-digit range of around 8-9 touchdowns, I think I'm expecting for this season from Olave, at least.
You know, that's kind of the thing. The big question is how many points does this offense put up, right? Because it's tough because you got to get the ball to Alvin. You got to get the ball to Taysom, who's going to vulture a lot in the red zone, as he always has and will continue to do. You got to get the ball to Juwan. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, again, I'm just not as confident on the touchdowns in terms of, I think the over-under for Chris on touchdowns from DraftKings was 5.5.
Wow.
So I'd bet that. I'd bet over 5.5, but I'd feel close. I feel like it's that one to me is a questionable bet, whereas over 1099, which is the current
yardage,
betting pros yardage, I think I saw 1150 from somewhere else. I'm still taking that. Like 1,200 yards for Chris Olave this season should be a layup. When you consider he almost got there with Andy Dalton throwing in the ball in a season where he wasn't the primary until, you know, week 5. And even then he was a rookie trying to figure it out in real time. Like, this is an offense that, you know, I look at more like Brandon Ayuk's season last year. I think he had 75 catches and he was well over 1,000 yards. Let's see. I want to see. Brandon Ayuk's numbers are pretty wild when you look at it. And a guy that, who knows if he's going to be back on the 49ers, 75 catches, 1,342 yards, 7 touchdowns. He had an average of 17.9 yards per catch. That's what I want to, that's what I expect Chris to be closer to. Now, 1,300 yards on 75 catches is crazy in terms of the production and the efficiency there. I don't think you're going to expect him to be close to 18 yards a catch. I want to see Chris be closer to 15, 16 yards per catch, in which case you're looking at 90 catches to 1,300 yards. But I think, like, when you kind of look at, okay, how did Brandon get to those numbers? I think that's what you're hoping Chris can do in this new offense that is a lot more like what Brandon was doing with the 49ers.
No, yeah, I definitely think the arrow up for Olave number-wise is it should – like you mentioned, it just, that seems like a natural, easy progression. And with the yardage, catches, it seems like a layup that it should be an over there.
He has to be the star of this offense.
Has to, right?
Right. Like, at least a passing game. Who else is it going to be? Like, even if the Saints struggle mightily and lose a ton of games, he's still putting up yardage, right? So, all right, let's wrap that up. We're going to go the rest of this podcast and not talk nearly as much about Chris Olave, but I did want to get to it because, to me, that's the lock bet of this entire offseason. It's like, whatever you're getting, because I think when we get closer to the season when there gets to be some more reporting done about how this offense is looking and the sports books kind of catch up, I think that number is going to tick up, especially if you try to get it after like week 3. But for now, that to me is the most gettable line of this offseason for the Saints. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about some individual of runners, Rashid Shaheed, Alvin Kamara, some of these other guys. And then we're going to dive into some really weird bets. Like, do the Saints score a touchdown in every game this season? If you think the answer is yes, you'd get some really good odds on that. And I do want to look back and say, like, okay, what did they do last year?
Yeah.
Because it does seem like they scored a touchdown in most games. I can think of one where they didn't. So we're going to talk about stuff like that. It's going to be, you know, this is a bottom of the barrel type day, man. And take what you can. But all right. This is Inside Black and Gold. Who dat? We'll be right back.